about.
So easy. You gotta put it in perspective.
From their humble beginnings in the tiny town of Escatawpa, Mississippi, to their global success in rock and roll, please welcome multi-platinum recording artist, Three Doors Down.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
V.I.G.
So you're the host?
Yeah.
Wow, the host with the most. Well, that's fun. Hey, you know, if you need any jokes, I found a joke book at the dump.
What were you doing at the dump? On a date or something?
No, I was just snooping around.
Snooping around?
Yeah, what else do you do at the dump?
Dr. Dev says Logan's surgery was a success.
We hang out like friends, like the friends from that program Friends.
And now.
This is so degrading. I bet this is what Kevin Spacey feels like when some hot young Latino guy doesn't get his Jack Lemmon impression.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Thursday morning, the 7th of December. Hi, Allie.
Hey, Kevin.
Oh, sort of. Right? There's a little something there.
I went home yesterday and just drank liquids all night. What actual, like, Crystal Light and water. Peed all night. That was just basically what I did.
Good
from
times.
About, noon until about 10 p.m.
Now, explain to me how the liquids help your voice.
I thought if I just stayed hydrated and get ready to ding it, lubricated my throat, that would somehow help because I'm not sick. It's like a laryngitis, but not quite. So I can't figure it out.
When I'm sick and I'm losing my voice, Bean, I think it's because your vocal cords are dry. So if I get a humidifier overnight, a lot of times that'll make the difference between not losing my voice and losing my voice.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. Allie, I have to give you a lot of credit because many people would take advantage of this opportunity to pretend to be sick because they sound sick. They would call in and go with that voice. They would call and go, oh, you guys, I tried, but I just, there's no way. Listen to me.
I'm so dumb. I'm the dumbest.
Dean literally just doesn't believe anyone is ever.
I don't believe anyone
ever.
Should ever call it sick. No.
But it is to your credit that you are here and you are pushing through and you gained a lot of new fans with the new sexy Allie McKay voice.
I did notice that. Concerning. Very concerning.
A lot of people like it.
I did like that people thought, God, you sound sexy and almost dead. And I'm not sure why I'm finding that so hot. I do.
There are some ladies on the TV, which is where all of my real people live,
right.
And that have that kind of voice full time. Like Jennifer Aniston. Doesn't she have a little bit of that kind of sort of raspiness that you have in your voice right now?
Maybe
all the
a little.
Time?
I think of Demi Moore. Mostly.
Totally, yeah.
Lucky.
I like it.
Luck out.
Luck out.
It is luck out. It is luck out for you. Well, it is an all-new Kevin and Bean Show, and obviously our fingers continue to be crossed, and best wishes and good luck sent to everybody involved in all the awful, awful fires. Man, I mentioned yesterday briefly when we were talking about this that we have some friends in Ojai that were all set to evacuate, were told to evacuate, and then the winds changed. They didn't have to. Well, now they're out.
Yeah.
And Ojai and Carpinteria are, I guess they're mostly all evacuated at this point. The 101 up there in Ventura is closed, and 150 is closed, and the fire has cut off coastal access to Santa Barbara. I mean, it is only 5% contained, you guys.
It's not good.
Only 5%, and the winds now are like 50 miles an hour.
I think today is the last day, and maybe the worst day with winds.
I think so.
And then Friday, it's really supposed to die down, and I hope they can get a handle on it.
We need rain. That's what we need. Can we do a rain dance? Can we do something?
I would pay to see you do a rain dance, yes.
Well, whatever it takes.
I would enjoy that.
I mean, I don't want this to be the way the world ends, is just we all burn up. You know what I mean?
I like that you go right to the world's end. That's good.
It looks apocalyptic out there.
It does.
It's a nightmare. I know people always say this when confronted with something awful in real life, but it looks like a movie, like it can't be real.
Right. Agreed.
You know?
Yeah.
So anyway, fingers crossed and good luck, y'all. Before we move on to today's show, this is the season, as you know, for porch pirates. People, I know this has always happened. People have always stolen things off of people's porches. But every year, it seems like it gets bigger and bigger and bigger, where you get your Amazon delivery while you're at work, and then you come home and it's gone because someone has just cruised the neighborhood and just grabbed all the boxes they could.
I got to get busy. I'm slacking this.
Well, no, you're not supposed to do it. We're saying don't do that.
Oh, don't. Okay.
So here's a new mom, Angie Bolique. She has other children, but she's got a new baby who is just 4 months old named Ben. And she recently bought him a pair of Christmas pajamas. It's a tradition in their family that they take a photo in the Christmas pajamas with all the kids. So she ordered some online. Then last Thursday, she got an email from the store saying that it had been delivered, but it was not on her porch. And she realized, oh, man, I am the victim of a crime here. It has been stolen. So she decided she wanted to get what she says was her own passive-aggressive revenge.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
So she got a box, and she filled it with 10 to 15 of her baby's dirty diapers, along with a note reading, "Enjoy this, you thief," and left it on the porch on Sunday. By Monday evening, when she got home from work, the box was gone.
Oh, man.
She's delighted, by the way.
Of course. She feels like, what a burn.
If it's... I mean, I guess it doesn't matter if it's the same people who stole the pajamas. Whoever stole it, they got what they deserved, right? How dirty were the diapers? Well, let's just say he's been sick the last week.
Okay. Mm.
So we'll leave it at that. It's pretty gross.
Thank you.
Is what she said. So she is going to take the step that many of us have taken, which is to get a camera for the porch so that you can keep an eye on it. Which, by the way, you know, it's still kind of hard to track down those people. If you see them for a few seconds jumping up on your porch and leaving, it's not exactly an easy way to ID somebody.
Yeah, you know how Bean every year says, oh, you know what? I ordered your gift, but it's somewhere in the mail or be here, you know, in a week or two. So just hold on.
Uh-huh.
He says that to everyone. So now, what if I just say,
never got it?
Guy, Amazon, I ordered it, it says I sent it, but I never got it. Then I don't have to get anyone a gift.
Brilliant.
I've said that once or twice over the years, by the way, when it's actually been true. The lady goes on to say it was kind of a relief to come home and find that the box was gone. We all had a good laugh thinking about someone opening up that box of awful dirty diapers and thinking they're going to get something good, and it's not. Police, however, do not recommend her tactics.
Ah.
They say you should get a tracking number, pay close attention to your front porch on your scheduled delivery date, pick up your package from a delivery center, or get a security camera. So there you go. So dirty diapers were stolen in Oregon.
Yeah. All right, good times. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Just because you want it doesn't mean it can happen, okay? It's one in a million, even if you have Brando's talent. It's not going to happen for you, okay?
Okay. Paul Scheer will join us today. Love him so much.
Yeah.
He does a podcast called How Does This Get Made, and he's also in The Disaster Artist. So Jim Rome will be on the program today because it's Thursday. We talk sports with him. We also check in with Dr. Drew on Thursdays. Tomorrow we're doing a live show from the Hollywood Park Casino. So today we're talking to R.J. Bell about his picks for Week 14 of the NFL. Weird sex laws on today's show. Top 10 drops, sound bites for the year. And tickets for both nights of the Acoustic Christmas, plus that 55-inch TCL TV, and that's going to be in the 6 o'clock hour. So keep listening for that. We'll take a break. We'll come back. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 5:52.
You mentioned a few minutes ago that we are going to be live tomorrow at the Hollywood Park Casino in Inglewood, and we are. Starting at 5:30, we go on the air. Everybody is invited to come on down. It's 21 and up, we found out yesterday, by the way, which I think is good information to get on the air.
Sure.
We are let's talk about the toys for a minute because we are trying to help the local firefighters in their Christmas toy dive.
Yes, they have a toy drive called Spark of Love, and we're asking people to bring down unwrapped gifts. The people that are fighting the fires, of course, don't have time to organize that stuff, so we have a local fire department that's going to actually accept all of the toys, and then they'll send them to where they're needed the most.
Yeah.
So if they're needed in Ventura, they'll send them to Ventura.
Yeah, Culver City Fire is doing a great thing.
Yeah, it's really cool.
I love those guys. The live broadcast is going to be the Hollywood Park Casino. That's going to be tomorrow, 3883 West Century Boulevard in Inglewood. By the way, come on down. We got drink specials. We got K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas tickets for both nights every hour that you can win on site. We got some great guests stopping by, including actor Justin Long, who's very funny. Our friend Doug Benson is going to be stopping by. I am told Rudy Cisneros may stop by tomorrow as well. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be a really, really good time, and we hope that you will make some plans to join us if you can. All right, my turn this hour to take a look at what's going on in the world. Oh, showbiz. I was interested in this. You know, we were talking last week about how Radiohead booked a gig in South America on the night that they would be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame if the votes go that way.
Right.
Shows how little they care about being in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And they have said as much, by the way. They don't get the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. They don't care if they're in it or not. They certainly don't need to perform. Do you guys think that they will be voted in? Radiohead.
I would guess so.
What do you think, Allie?
I think when we were going over all the other people, mm-hmm. I thought there were enough not to include Radiohead this year. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, do they deserve it? Their early work certainly does.
I was interested in how the process works because they have 900 people who vote for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. They are music historians. They are members of the music industry. They are artists, including anyone who's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, who's still alive, gets a chance to vote. And then they have one ballot that is set aside for the fans. And the fans get to pick who they'd like to see, and then they count that into the total when the votes are counted. And in case you're wondering, it was revealed yesterday the results of the fan vote of all 19 potential members, from which they will whittle down to five. And Radiohead came in 12th of the fans. Wow. So a lot of people not feeling a lot of love for Radiohead. It won't surprise anybody who the most voted for act was. Bon Jovi by a landslide.
Wow.
I said at the time, I know I am in the minority on this show, I think Bon Jovi has no business being in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame at all. And that's not to say they will be.
I don't think you were in the minority, though.
Really?
Yeah.
I remember.
Dude, he's a cowboy, though. On a steel horse he rides.
He does, exactly.
So come on.
So the fans love Bon Jovi. I'll be surprised if the other people who vote are going to say yay on Bon Jovi. Number two in the fan voting was the Moody Blues, by the way. Then Dire Straits, then The Cars, then Judas Priest, and then there's a bunch more after that. But I think I was a little bit surprised to see Radiohead so low.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's open to everybody, and Radiohead is certainly not for everybody anymore. Dave was very excited by this news yesterday. It had been rumored, but yesterday it was officially announced by CBS All Access that The Twilight Zone is coming back. It's another reboot of The Twilight Zone. I got to tell you, I know that original series was on 50 years ago. I still think that's a great show. I still think a lot of those episodes hold up. You guys ever watch The Twilight Zone when it's on?
Absolutely. When they do the
the marathons over the 4th of July?
The marathon on KTLA, that it does gangbuster numbers. People love that.
I haven't watched it in 15 years. But, I remember it fondly. Yeah. I would probably watch it if it came on.
Right.
There were so many great episodes, and there were so many great stars. That's the thing. You go back, and you just see all these actors who went on to have tremendous fame afterwards, and The Twilight Zone hired a lot of actors. You know, you see, you know, so many people that you recognize. Anyway, this is going to be the fourth Twilight Zone series. It was also revived in 1985 and in 2002. But Jordan Peele is going to be the executive producer of the series.
All right, I'm in.
Mr. Get Out himself, he knows a little something about this kind of material, so I am very excited about that. And Kevin, I know you said you're fighting it. You don't want to have to subscribe to another service.
A lot of services to subscribe.
CBS All Access, yeah. I don't know. This might make it worth it, depending on how cool it is.
Yeah, true.
Sexual harassment is all over the news. I thought this was interesting. Jeffrey Tambor, who we had been told, due to the accusations against the Transparent actor, was going to be leaving that show.
Yeah.
Tells Deadline that he planned to leave, but now he's changed his mind. He is not going to quit, and he has no plans to quit the series at this time, says his representative.
Hmm.
He's had allegations against him that he pressed up against a former assistant, made inappropriate comments to her on the show. And he says, the idea that I would deliberately harass anyone is simply and utterly untrue. So I'm not sure what caused the change of heart there. And I'm also not sure that it's his decision.
Isn't it up to the investigation that Amazon launched?
I would think so. Yeah. I would think that the people he works for would have the final say on whether he comes back or not. Yeah. But he is taking a stand and saying that he does not plan to go.
Yeah, because his quote was something like, I don't see how I could go back.
Right.
Because he had said that it's such a toxic atmosphere on the set and everything. Right. That's not going to win you any fans on the set either.
No. And a lot of people are just not going to want him there, too. Because he's creepy Jeffrey Tambor now in people's minds. If the allegations are true, they're not going to want to work with him anymore.
Right.
And finally for this hour, I do this story as a reminder to update your will, you guys.
Yeah.
David Cassidy's will has been revealed, and he left his son Bo all of his estate. And this is going to surprise you. David Cassidy, who was a star for over 50 years at one time in the early 1970s, was the highest paid performer in the world, by the way. Had a bigger fan club than the Beatles or Elvis Presley. That's how popular David Cassidy was. When he died 2 weeks ago, his estate was worth $150,000.
Oh, no.
Oh, wow.
That's it. Other sibling, he left it all to his son, Bo. Bo has half siblings who will split the memorabilia that will be worth something. But the reason I bring up the will aspect is it was specifically stated in Cassidy's will that his daughter, Katie, get nothing. They were estranged at the time the will was written in 2004, but they reconciled over the last few years of David's life and became very, very close. And you'll recall she was with him in the hospital room when he passed away.
Oh,
so it's
so
kind
sad.
Of a shame. Not that the money or the, you know, the memorabilia is something that Katie necessarily would need or want, but it's a, I think it's a little bit hurtful.
Absolutely.
After the fact, to have that will read and find out that it's you're mentioned in the will to make sure you don't get anything.
Yeah, that sucks.
So it would have been nice sometime in the last, I see what you did there. In the last 15 years, it would have been nice if that could have been updated.
Agreed.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Actor Nicholas Hoult from the X-Men is 28 years old today. Aaron Carter, who's been in the news for not a lot of good reasons lately. Of course, he's Backstreet Boy Nick Carter's little brother. He turns 30 today. Our friend Dominic Howard, who we'll see this weekend as the drummer for Muse, turns 39. Singer Sarah Bareilles turns 38 years old today. Kevin, your favorite. Tom Waits has a birthday.
I do love Tom Waits. He is the best.
I think he may be a better writer than a singer.
How can you say that?
You're the edge on the spear. You're the nail on the cross.
Hey, come on.
You're the fly in my
bill. That's vocal
You're
gold.
The key that God lost. You're the
I mean, that's
Jesus.
Real. This is
I,
not,
I get it.
This
it's
isn't a parody.
It's not a great representation of him. That one clip that you play, I think, that is obviously just Tom Waits. No, he's amazing.
I know a lot of people love Tom, and they love his singing, too. Actor Shuri Appleby, who's so talented, 39. Jennifer Carpenter, probably best known as Dexter's wife, is 38 years old today. And our friend Yasiel Puig.
Yasiel Puig.
27, and that's the showbiz beat. What's he doing?
I don't know. Mugs is just standing here holding the...
Holding a folder.
Just
holding,
standing there.
Just standing here. What? Why are you doing that?
In case you needed to read it.
Just okay. Take it.
Well,
just go.
Either take it or put it back where it belongs.
Okay.
Okay. Good times.
That's not distracting at all when you're trying to do a radio show. A guy waving a bunch of papers around. Hey, in 5 minutes, maybe less, we will tell you how you can win tickets to both nights of the sold-out K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2017 at the Forum. We'll give you a chance to win them in less than 5 minutes. First, though, we call them sound bites or drops. These are little pieces of audio that we play throughout the day on the show that some of them take on a life of their own. Some of them become so popular that people identify them with us. Some of them even make it up onto T-shirts. And as we start to look back on the year that was 2017, we thought it might be fun to count down for you the top drops of the year.
Audio clips that we play on the show. Which one will be on top? No one knows. Audio clips, also known as drops. Which one will have a shot?
Top drops of 2017. Got a mix, a little bit of everything this year in the drops. Kevin, you'll be, I think, delighted to know that you are not represented.
Oh, such good news.
The top drops of the year. Allie, we will be hearing from you a little bit later on.
Excellent.
I also am
excellent.
And a couple of times.
Wow, this may be a first.
But here we go. These are the most popular drops, I think, of 2017.
This is top drops.
I don't remember where this one came from, but it has been extremely useful to us here on the show. Number 10, by our friend Ice Cube.
What made you think that it was cool to say that?
That was him to Bill Maher.
Whoops, sorry,
yes,
sorry.
It was.
It was him to that
Bill
was
Maher.
Him to Bill Maher.
Yes.
Yes, that's exactly where it came from. After Bill Maher said something insensitive, right?
Wow, it's like a steel trap up there, Kevin.
Right? He said the N-word.
Recognize you anyway.
Come on, Bean.
Is that what it was?
Get your life together, man.
That's still coming up, Kevin.
How often do I get to say that?
Number 9, speaking of me, I was appropriately humiliated. We were having Mike Shinoda in on the program, and I said goodbye to him in an unusual way, and I regretted it ever since. Thanks so much for coming in, my brother. We'll talk to you soon. I'm not sure why all of a sudden he is my brother, and I certainly am sure that I did not pull it off.
We did add the music later, though.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Exactly. Yes. Here's
the number. How absurd that was.
I think here's a voice you all recognize. One of our very favorite people in the world had an unusual delivery in this sentence. It's our friend Petros.
Oh, that's right.
How many times did we play that?
So much.
Why did he say it like that?
I don't know. It was a weird, sexy delivery.
It really was. Here's one that didn't make it onto a T-shirt, but it certainly could have because it was said a lot. And I got to credit our friend Ralph Garman for this one, too, by the way, because he just determined that 2017 was the year of enough already. And he had a solution for everything he didn't like.
Fire must cleanse us.
I mean, didn't it seem like for a while everybody was, there was a lot of fire and there was a lot of bag and there was a lot of desert going
yes.
on?
Yep, yep, yep.
Do you guys remember 2 or 3 months ago when the entire world, particularly on this show, was gripped with eclipse fever? Do you remember that?
I mean, I remember that day that we walked out and saw the eclipse. That was kind of cool.
But you don't remember eclipse fever?
Eclipse.
I must have played that a thousand times. That was number 6
Bean's
on our top drops.
Bean's been looking forward to that eclipse for the last 15 years.
Yeah.
So it was a big deal for him.
And I'm looking forward to the next one, too, in 7 years.
All right.
Believe me, I'm going to be there, and I'm not going to make the mistake I made this year and not be in the path of totality.
Oh, same. Huge mistake. Been
right?
thinking about it ever since.
Kicking myself.
All right, we're into the top 5. Allie, this one is going to annoy you, but there's no way this doesn't make our top drops of the year.
Catch me outside. How about that?
I mean, right? The Cash Me Outside Girl, another one that we played thousands of times throughout the past calendar year. Here's one that I don't think, I think this one might have, was this the first T-shirt? Is this the one that came out to be?
Quitters Never Give Up.
Is that the first Kevin and Bean T-shirt that we did this year?
I think it was.
I think it was, yeah.
Quitters Never Give Up. A great man once said that. And it became so popular that it ended up on a T-shirt. All right, Allie, as we count down the top drops of the year, I promised you would make an appearance, and this is a question somehow you ask in almost every interview.
Is it butt stuff?
I mean, I don't know why butt stuff comes up.
But, it does. It needs
you
to.
Know why.
Right?
Right? Who's with me? No? This is Top
Drops. Number 2 in our Top Drops of the Year. I have to credit a listener. Kies Fiesto was his name. We fell in love with him. He made a video. He was really upset with a story that I told when we came on the air one day that ended up being a bad story, a boring story, a long story about a missing dog.
That was a terrible choice.
It was not a good story.
Right.
And Kies sent us a video of him walking through the forest in Scotland. And he asked I think he made some good advice for us that I really should keep in mind more often.
Bean, fix your goddamn life.
I mean, I can't tell you how many times people have said that to me since he has sent in the video.
Same.
All right. As we count down the top drops of 2017, this is Top Drops. Here is another one that came out of a report about a man who had a tumor removed from his body in Central California. Remember, he traveled all the way across the country in a custom van to have a 130-pound tumor removed. And fortunately, the surgery was... Well, I'll let her tell you.
This was a success.
It was a success.
Right?
Tumor gone. A legend was born. Another Kevin and Bean T-shirt was made, too. This was a success. And there it is. The top 10 drops of 2017.
This is Top Drops.
The top drops of 2017.
All right. Shall we give away these tickets?
We should.
Both nights of the sold-out K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. If you want to be there this weekend at the Forum, I know it seems like times are desperate. I mean, we're running out of time to get you tickets, but if you want to see Muse and 30 Seconds to Mars and Queens of the Stone Age and Rise Against and Morrissey and the Killers and Weezer and Foster the People and Phoenix and all the rest, you have to listen up. This is going to be a tough one. This is not going to be for everyone, but somebody is going to win.
All right.
Want to lay it out for us here, Kevin?
This is a montage of clips from 3 of the bands from night 1 and 3 of the bands from night 2.
So it's
mixture of both nights.
Okay.
It's a montage of tiny little clips, and you have to give us the band or artist and song title, both, in the correct order. It's also backwards.
What?
I'm sorry, what? Say what? Say again?
It is a reverse montage. So he put the clips together, then Omar flipped it backwards. So this might be extremely difficult, but if you can solve it, you'll win tickets to both nights and that 55-inch TCL TV.
Wow.
All right, who's ready? Reverse montage. Here we go.
Wow.
Ooh. Okay. You know what? I'm going to tell you that a couple of those sounded familiar to me.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed. But then there were a couple of them were like, I don't know what that is at all. And I'm looking at the list. All right. Reverse montage. We need the artist and the song title in order.
We've never not had a winner when we've done a montage, right?
Correct. We've never done a reverse montage either, but I assume that we will get a winner on this one, too.
Okay, so if you know it, title and artist in order, we want to hear from you right now. 1-800-520-1067. Tickets to both nights and the brand new 55-inch TCL TV. TCL, the official TV partner of K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas. Let's play it one more time before we take calls. Good luck. We'll talk to you next time. Hilarious actor Paul Scheer joins us on the program later on today. Plus, it's Thursday, so we catch up with our good friend Dr. Drew Pinsky and Jim Rome talking sports all on the way on K-Rock this morning.
First, it's time for a reverse montage.
Reverse. Reverse.
I don't feel like you put a lot of work into that.
Really? Not much commitment?
No, I don't feel like. Here we go. We're going to play it for you again. This is bands from both nights of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. We need the artist and the song title in order. If you get two right and you get the third one wrong, it doesn't matter if you have the fourth and fifth one right. We have to move on. So that's how we're going to do it. Here you go.
And you gave a good hint earlier, too, which is that it's three bands or artists from each night. So if you're okay, if you're trying to figure it out, that might help you put the puzzle together. So 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with Josh in Manhattan Beach, please? He's on line five. He was actually the first one through. He's very brave to go first, but let's see what he's got.
Hey, Josh.
Brave or stupid?
No, that's we'll see.
We'll
all right.
See.
In order, title and artist. What do you want to start with, Josh?
I'll start. So I get to choose one of the three. There were six songs, right?
Yes, and we need the first one that played first.
Okay, so the first song I think that was played was Kings and Queens by 30 Seconds to Mars.
You are correct,
sir.
That
is correct. Number two?
The second song, I believe, is No One Knows by...
I'm sorry.
What's it? Queens of the Stone Age. Sorry, Queens of the Stone Age.
Yeah, I'm sorry, that's wrong.
Okay.
I mean,
But close.
Sorry.
All right. Thank you. Let's try Chris Anaheim up next, line six on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, guys.
We're doing a reverse montage. Let's play it for you one more time, then we'll hear your guess.
I couldn't do this in a million years.
Mm-mm. In order, Chris, what's first?
Man, okay. Said Kings and Queens, 30 Seconds to Mars.
Correct.
God, that second one I don't have. I know I heard Morrissey. I heard Knights of Sidonia. I heard Ophelia.
What's your guess for the second one? I'm sorry.
Thank you for calling, though. We appreciate it. All right, you want to try Darren Thousand Oaks, line four?
All right. Hey, Darren.
Good morning.
Welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. You ready? You want to hear it again, or are you ready?
I think I'm ready.
Okay.
All right. We know it's 30 Seconds to Mars, Kings and Queens.
Yes.
The hard one here is Queens of the Stone Age.
Right.
I know. Well, now we know it's not No One Knows. So let's go with the flow.
I'm sorry. No. Thank you, though. Appreciate it. Let's try Anthony LaPuente, line eight, up next on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Anthony.
Hey, what's up, guys?
You want to hear it again or no?
I think I got it.
Okay.
Ooh, wow, confidence. Wow. All right, Anthony, I hope you're right. Go ahead.
30 Seconds to Mars, Kings and Queens.
Correct.
Queens of the Stone Age, Little Sister.
There it is.
The Lumineers, Ophelia.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
What's happening?
Morrissey, Suedehead.
Correct.
Yes.
Muse, Knights of Sidonia.
Yes.
Yes.
And The Killer, Somebody Told Me.
Yeah!
Well, how
look at that!
Wow.
How did you... This is it forwards.
Well, somebody told me no one's got it.
How did you do that?
Wow.
Because I'm bad, that's why.
Well, listen, we want you to be our guest for both nights of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2017 this weekend at the Forum. Plus, we'd like to throw in, with your permission, a brand new 55-inch TCL television. How does that sound, sir?
What?
Anthony, you're the best. Hang on. Thanks for listening.
Reverse.
Reverse.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:56.
If you want to win a pair of tickets to see the Ducks versus the Wild, Minnesota's in town at the Honda Center tomorrow night, plus two hot dogs, two beers, 21 and up. Chip, what are we listening for?
The Ducks beat the Senators 3-0 yesterday, so you're listening for the final call of the game.
All right, so you'll hear that sometime in the next hour or so. When you do, be caller 20 and win tickets to see the Ducks tomorrow night, courtesy of Ducks fan number one, our little friend Chip. Hey, it's 6:56. RJ Bell talks football coming up after the top of the hour. First, Allie's got a look at the showbiz news. What's going on?
Hey, if you guys are just waking up and wondering if you have school today, go to the LA Times.
I hope not.
Right? That's what I'm saying.
Right.
There are more than 50 schools in the LA area that are closed because of the wildfires. So we've got elementary schools, junior highs, high schools. So go to the latimes.com and check that out. And CBS LA just tweeted that UCLA, CSUN, LA Valley College all closed today due to the fires. So might want to check on that before you go to drop the kids off or go to take that test.
Allie, when you went to college in Boston.
Yeah.
Did you have the joy that so many of us have of laying in bed, listening to the radio, waiting for the school closings to find out if you were off that day?
When I was there, I believe it was a couple years ago, had like the worst winter in Massachusetts history, the most snow days, except for when I was in college.
Oh.
The previous time was when I was in college, and there were two snow days that they called.
That's it?
F them, right? Like, full-blown blizzard. But unless the T, which is the public transportation, is closed down, they're like, you can get here. It sucked.
I used to work at a radio station where we had to announce every school by name.
Oh, no.
That was canceled. Yeah. And then as soon as you did, someone would call and go, what about?
Yeah.
Go, look, I just announced it for a half hour.
Yeah.
10 seconds ago.
Yeah, pre-internet, we used to have to read very long lists of schools. But it was a thrill if you were on the other side of that radio and you found out that your school. I mean, I remember growing up and hearing my county in Maryland was closed. And it was just like the happiest day.
But imagine listening to me read that list and then trying to figure out if yours was open or closed.
Wait, did you say my school? I don't even know if that was English. That is awesome. Well, we're all excited for The Last Jedi to come out on December 14th. But something that Star Wars fans can actually watch out for while they're watching, and this is not a spoiler point or anything, but there's a cool tribute to the late Carrie Fisher in the latest Star Wars film, The Last Jedi. Director Rian Johnson used her bulldog, Gary, made up into an alien creature.
Oh, that's awesome.
So fans have actually spotted the dog in some pictures released by the movie company and featured in Empire magazine. And in the pictures, Gary is being held by an alien being behind John Boyega and Kelly Marie Tran's characters, Finn and Rose. So watch out.
Are there any dogs up in this house?
There are some dogs up in this house. And it's the French bulldog, Gary, who was so dang cute and went everywhere with Carrie Fisher. Mm-hmm. Remember when she would do either, it was like the Comic-Cons or whatever, the dog would literally walk out before her and she would just stroll out after
him. Oh, that's funny.
Oh, Gary, you're the best. You're just the best dog.
You're talking to a dog now.
Yeah. Gary, if you're listening, give us a call.
Right.
This is, I don't want to be a royal, you guys. I've determined if Harry broke up with Meghan Markle, I don't want him to ask
me. You don't
me
want
to get
that
married.
Gig?
I don't want that gig. Mm. There is so much that goes into it. Bean brought us the story a couple days ago. The courses that Meghan Markle has to take, emergency courses where she has to learn how to blink out to stress signals if she's kidnapped. On top of that, just learning the simple rules. Like, who do I curtsy to? Okay, I curtsy to this person. Oh, but I have to bend for the Queen, Kate, and Beatrice. Okay, how do I address dignitaries? Are they Lord? Are they? There are so many.
That whole thing is nonsense.
Rules that are just insane. And I don't know if you remember that Diana ran afoul with the royals and all royal watchers early on when she wore a black gown to an event.
Right? Because how crazy is that?
Huge no-no. We all know black outfits reserved for mourning and funerals.
Okay.
Who knew that? I mean, really? You can't wear a little black dress somewhere? Apparently not.
Not according to the royals.
Also, Meghan Markle, really good with her fans, always taking selfies. Selfies are not allowed with the royals. So she is seen in a video literally saying, I can't do that. I'm sorry. No selfies allowed.
And then the That's person's bizarre. Going, what? And she's going, there's a sniper. Trust me, walk away.
I don't think that happened, but I would kind of love it. All right, talking some birthdays today. We've got Dominic Howard. He's turning 39 today. He's, of course, the drummer for Muse. We'll see them on Saturday night. Shiri Appleby is 39. Actress Jennifer Carpenter is 38. WWE wrestler Dean Ambrose is 32. Actor Nicholas Hoult is 28. And Yasiel Puig is 27. I'm Allie McKay, and that's your showbiz.
Because we're going to be doing a live show tomorrow, which once again you are invited to join us if you want to at the Hollywood Park Casino from 5:30 till 10 a.m. broadcasting live all morning long and giving away tickets to both nights of the sold-out K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas every single hour on location. But we're not going to be talking to many people on the phone tomorrow because we're going to be in a live situation. So it's time today to catch up with our good friend RJ Bell.
Cause he's RJ Bell.
RJ is the founder of Pregame.com, the exclusive odds provider for the Associated Press, and he joins us every week for the preview of the NFL weekend ahead. RJ, how are you, my friend?
Excellent.
I heard a story on the news I wanted to ask you about real quick before we get into this week's picks, and that is that multiple states, including New Jersey, Chris Christie was on my TV yesterday talking about how New Jersey, he thinks, is going to legalize sports betting, and apparently a lot of other states are planning to follow suit. What do you know about this, and what kind of impact does this have on you guys in your near monopoly in Nevada?
I tell you, this to me is very exciting. What happened was years ago, the state of New Jersey said, we want to have sports betting. Atlantic City, obviously, would have been an ideal place to have it. And the racetracks. Well, the government said, no, four states got a right to this in 1992. There's actually four states. It's just not Nevada.
Is one of them California?
No.
Ah.
Delaware, Montana, but most of them don't do anything. Only Nevada does something. And Jersey said, well, that's not fair. We're going to go to court. This has been like a three-year ebbs and flows. It finally got to the Supreme Court. They had the oral arguments this Monday. And by all accounts, and I've talked to three or four guys behind the scenes that should know, and every one of them are saying over a 90% chance this is going to happen. And I actually had a meeting off the record, so I won't name the league, with one of the major leagues out there.
Which one?
I can't say.
Okay.
And I'll tell you later.
All right.
And they were talking about gambling legalization as if it was a foregone conclusion. So my sense is whatever optimism there is in general, it's even higher. I would make a major bet we're going to be able to bet before too long.
Does it rhyme with NFL?
RJ, I don't know how California hasn't looked with supreme envy for the past 50 years at what Nevada is doing with the money that comes in through legalized gambling. And
we're good with money
to get a
here,
piece of that.
We're good with money.
No, but seriously, why would you not want it in your state?
Well, listen, you guys on the poker side have been very aggressive and have some of the biggest rooms. I know poker players that move from Nevada to be in L.A. just because the games are better and bigger.
Yeah, there's a lot of games, a lot of places.
No doubt, and not to mention those private games you hear about, right?
No, those don't happen.
Well, that is very interesting. So you think California would be one of those states, among others, that would embrace this?
One of the first five. I think Jersey, Pennsylvania, Florida, California. Most likely it would be a state-by-state issue, like, let's say, recreational marijuana and all the different other things that are emerging in the last decade or so. And, you know, socially conservative states like Utah probably wouldn't do it. But
right.
In a way, that's wonderful. Let each state decide the pros and
the
cons.
I like that.
Okay, fair enough. Another good week for RJ Bell last week. He was 2-1 with his picks. Let's take a look at what you think for this weekend. Kevin's Arizona Cardinals have the Tennessee Titans this weekend. That's your big dog pick. What's going on there?
We're going with Kevin in Arizona +3. I think Tennessee is the most overrated team in the NFL. They're seeded third right now in the AFC, but by the advanced metrics, they're about number 21 in the league. Their record is 8-4, Tennessee, but on the season, they've been outscored by 16 points on the season. So they're getting lucky in close games and losing the games by big numbers when they do lose. So that's a good sign of an overrated Tennessee team. Now, what does Tennessee do well? They run the ball well. Well, Arizona has the fourth best rushing defense in the NFL. Lastly, when it's late in the year and a team isn't going to the playoffs like Arizona, you've got to assess how disciplined they are, how good the coach is. Well, Arizona's been playing hard. We expect that to continue. Arizona plus +3.
Interesting. All right. Probably the most anticipated matchup of the NFL weekend is the Philadelphia Eagles coming off that Seattle loss last weekend, but against the Los Angeles Rams. These are two of the best teams in football, and they're meeting in L.A. What say you?
Yeah, so first, a little caveat. You guys, the Rams, I mean, what a team. A young team, one of the best coaches in his early 30s with McVay. So I'm setting you up here. The best bet, the Eagles plus +2.5. This is a pros versus Joes game. The Joes are the recreational batters. They finally figured out how good this Rams team is, which is one of the best teams in the NFL. And the Joes saw the Eagles get beat last week against Seattle on national TV. So they're thinking, oh, maybe Philly's not that good. Well, with the pros see, yeah, the Rams are really good, but over the season, Philadelphia has been the better team. And last week's loss is going to result in focus. Remember, they played that game, the Eagles did, in Seattle. They did not fly back east and back west. They're staying the whole week out west, which should be like a quasi-training camp, and they should be really focused in this game. By the way, the Rams' home field beginning the season wasn't all that great. As the crowd enthusiasm has increased, it's gotten better, but there's a lot of Philadelphia transplants in L.A., and from what I hear, about half the crowd is going to be rooting for Philly. Another reason to like the Eagles plus +2.5.
You know, if this ends up being a factor, it's going to be for either team, so there's no advantage. But I'm wondering if air quality is going to come into play this weekend in Southern California because of these horrific fires we're having.
I'll be honest with you. I think it's a negative for the Rams because they have probably more kids. Oh, the kid can't go to school the normal way. You know, so all the kind of realities of life that might get disrupted.
Oh, I see.
Just a distraction.
All right, and finally with RJ Bell from Las Vegas, the big game of the weekend is the Falcons and the New Orleans Saints. These are two teams. It's hard to find teams that hate each other more than these two, and they've got quite a rivalry going back a number of years. What do you think?
Yeah, we're going to take advantage of going a day early. This is the Thursday night big game, and we're taking the Falcons plus +1. Now think about this. Last week, Atlanta had a home game against Minnesota. Atlanta was favored by 3 points in that game. Now Atlanta is at home, and they're an underdog. We're getting 1 point against the Saints. So the two opponents were Minnesota and New Orleans. Those are about even teams. So 1 week, we're laying 3 if you like Atlanta. Now we're getting 1. It's a classic overreaction to Atlanta losing last week. But that loss, if anything, makes this game more important for Atlanta. You know, the Saints want to win this game. The Falcons have to win this game if they want to stay in the playoffs. Lastly, Thursday night football is tougher on the road team because we have 3 less days to prepare. Having to travel takes even more time away from your preparation. And this is Atlanta's 3rd straight home game. So home, home, and home. So in a situation where they might be tired because it's a Thursday game, the fact Atlanta hasn't been on the road for about a month, another advantage. Falcons plus +1, big game special.
All right, so RJ Bell for week 14, Thursday night game tonight. The Falcons plus +1 over the Saints, the Eagles plus +2.5 over the LA Rams, and the Cardinals plus +3 over the Titans. By the way, pregame.com, the exclusive odds provider for the Associated Press for all the rest of the games, college too, and RJ's podcast is RJ Bell's Dream Preview on iTunes or wherever you get yours, pregame.com, and on Twitter at RJ in Vegas. Have yourself a great, great weekend. We'll talk to you again, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you.
Actor Paul Scheer joins us this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Dr. Drew Pinsky as well, and Jim Rome going to be talking sports coming up. By the way, Dr. Drew is on with Kennedy tonight on the Fox Business Channel.
All right.
Remember Kennedy? He used to work on our show all those years.
Sure.
It was a very popular show on Fox Business. She's never had Dr. Drew on as a guest before, but that's going to change tonight if you want to check that out. I saw this list yesterday, and these pop up from time to time. I get the sense that there are a lot of laws on the books in this country that nobody gets around to taking the time because they're not enforced anyway, so they just don't get around to taking the time to take them off the books.
Right.
But this is a list I think you guys will find interesting. And I am also curious to see how many of these you two have been guilty of. Kevin and Allie, I'm looking at you.
I'm going to say all.
All.
Not together, though. I'm not asking if you're guilty of them together, but just individually in your lives. Are you guilty of these unusual sex laws?
These are weird sex
laws. Hi, Ming.
Try it again. I'm ready.
Hi, Ming. Are you guilty of these?
These are weird sex
laws. For instance, in the state of North Carolina, pretending to be married in order to share a hotel room. Isn't it quaint to think that anyone would pretend to be married to check into a hotel together? Like, could anyone possibly care behind the desk? Or are there still places in the 21st century where they won't rent you a room unless you're married?
I can't imagine.
I can't imagine that they would go through the hassle of trying to check when they're just trying to make a buck.
Right.
Exactly. I wouldn't think so either. In the state of Nebraska, you cannot get married if you have gonorrhea.
Well, that's just good business.
Kevin, did you check? Do you remember? Was there any sort of a check there before you got married? Or
no, there was no gonorrhea question.
New Jersey.
I want to clear that up. I don't have it. Thank you.
In New Jersey, now tell me how it's possible this ever existed. Flirting is illegal in Haddon Township, New Jersey.
Flirting.
Where do you?
Did that used to mean something different?
I don't think so.
More extreme, or
I mean, are you just not allowed to, you know, chat up a young lady? Apparently,
guilty.
In Colorado, and this one should be a law in Minnesota. If you've been following Senator Franken, it is illegal to kiss a sleeping woman. Illegal to kiss a sleeping woman.
I mean, at least you can see what they're trying to do with that one.
Yes. Yes. In the state of these, by the way, are weird sex laws.
These are weird sex
laws. In the state of Texas, and I'm looking at you, Allie, it is illegal to own more than 6 vibrators.
Well, that's insane.
Guilty.
Do they have a raid?
Why?
Or they knock down your door and they run in and check?
And why 6?
Why?
Exactly why 6? How can I ask this question? What is the appropriate number, Allie, to have a wide range of tools available?
I mean, it depends on what you're going for.
365?
Depends on what aspect you're trying to achieve with your stimulation. I say 3, you're good. 2, if you spend a little extra.
Okay.
1, if you just get one of those massagers. Know what I'm saying? Magic wand, who's with me? Give me a call.
In Illinois, it is illegal to kiss a reptile.
Guilty!
Kevin. Why this law exists, I don't know. But, I mean, I certainly would be guilty of that. When I had turtles, I would kiss them on their little heads.
Oh,
right?
Those poor turtles. God.
In Kentucky, it is illegal to marry the same man more than 3 times.
Well, that's just good business sense again.
You think so? Minnesota, it's against the law to have sex with your wife if your breath smells of garlic, onions, or sardines.
Illegal?
Really? That's illegal. Law?
Yes, that is a law in the state of Minnesota, yes.
So you could be arrested.
Yeah,
I assume it would be your wife arresting you, a citizen's arrest.
Right. Yes,
for having garlic
breath. Had Italian food, and I would like my husband arrested.
The flip side of that, in Iowa, it is illegal for a husband to take more than 3 gulps of beer while lying in bed with his wife.
Can you drink? How that goes.
Can you drink the beer before you get into the bed? It sounds like they're very specific about where the beer must and must not be drunk.
No chugging in bed.
All right, a couple more here. This one is weird, and I don't even understand completely how this is a weird sex law.
These are weird sex laws.
Tongue splitting may only be performed by a licensed medical professional in the state of New York. Tongue splitting.
I think that's important anywhere.
I would hope so. Yes, yeah. That is not a job that should be left for amateurs. Now, these are people who get a piece of their tongue carved out so that it looks like a lizard tongue. Is that what we're talking about
here?
Yeah,
it's just a line right down the middle, so it just shoots out.
You guys watch The Strain? You ever watch that?
Yeah.
It takes place in New York?
Yeah.
Do they have that?
Thing? Yeah. They have that?
Yeah, they kill you with it.
And one more, and again, this must have been written for a very specific circumstance. In Newcastle, Wyoming, couples may not have sex while standing inside a store's walk-in meat freezer.
What? What?
A law made for one person.
It does. Well, I hope two. But it does sound like it, yes. These have been weird sex laws.
These are weird sex
laws. Guys, can't we just love both?
No. No, because there's a right answer and there's a wrong answer, and I can't work with that woman anymore.
What if both is the right answer?
That's not the right answer, though.
I believe you can love both. You're incorrect if you love Elf more.
Okay.
But that's all I'm saying.
Look. I don't even remember how this came up on yesterday's show, but I put up a Twitter poll, and here's what it said. Real Americans know Elf is the funniest Christmas movie of all time, but Allie McKay, who lives in Wrongville, says Christmas Vacation is. What say you? So I put it out there to the listeners. We had over 2,000 votes in the poll yesterday. The results right now are 41% Elf, 40% Christmas Vacation.
Wow.
And then the other option that I offered was 19% a different wrong answer. So believe it or not, there are some people out there, like we were just talking to RJ Bell off air a few minutes ago from Las Vegas. He says Bad Santa. Bad Santa, funniest
Christmas. Oh, yeah, a lot of people.
A lot of people weighed in with Bad Santa.
You said 40 and 41%. That's a
41 Elf, 40 Christmas Vacation, right, and 19 a different wrong answer. What's the thinking? Have you not seen Elf? Is that that's the only thing I can think of, maybe, is Allie, you haven't seen Elf.
Here's the thing. I've seen Elf. It is darling. I think Will Ferrell is adorable in it. Oh, I get it. You smiling's your favorite. That's great. I don't need to see it again. I saw it. I laughed. That was it. Christmas Vacation. I watch every single Christmas. Chip and I were talking about this. Every single Christmas, I look forward to this. And watching this with my family back when my grandfather was alive, seeing my grandpa with tears every single year, laughing like he's never heard these jokes
Dean
before.
Allie is cheating. She's using her dead grandpa.
Her dead grandpa.
Dead grandpa.
Dead grandpa.
How do you argue
that?
I'm just saying.
That's BS.
It's one of those movies that you can watch over and over and over again because it is so damn funny.
Chip, are you positive you want to wade into this?
Oh, totally. I'm on Team Allie.
Okay.
Bean's fake news.
Okay. But Elf, you guys.
Elf is great.
Vacation is better.
No!
Yes.
Okay, let me tell you what you're forgetting.
Okay, along those lines.
You're forgetting that.
How do you step on the line?
I'm sorry, I don't remember it. I only watched it once.
That's one for Elf.
Okay, here's the thing.
You only watched it once. You have no business in this conversation.
No, I've probably seen it more than once, but who cares? Here's the thing. I then counter Cousin Eddie out cleaning out the, you know what?
Esser's full.
I mean, amazing. But if you want to play a clip and you haven't seen this movie, this is when Clark Griswold thought he was getting this big bonus. Everything was
fine. He's going to put a pool in.
Everything was going to be fine now.
Best Christmas ever.
His bosses gave him this big bonus, so the family's all gathered around. He opens it up. It's for the Jelly of the Month Club, and he loses his S.
Hey, if any of you are looking for any last-minute gift ideas for me, I have one. I'd like Frank Shirley, my boss, right here tonight. I want him brought from his happy holiday slumber over there in Melody Lane with all the other rich people. And I want him brought right here with a big ribbon on his head. And I want to look him straight in the eye. And I want to tell him what a cheap, lying, no good, rotten, four-flushing, low-life, snake-licking, dirt-eating, inbred, overstuffed, ignorant, blood-sucking, dog-kissing, brainless, f-less, hopeless, heartless, fat-ass, bug-eyed, stiff-legged, spotty-lipped, worm-headed sack of monkey sh- he is. Hallelujah. Holy sh**. Where's the Tylenol?
I mean, there's a cat that's wrapped up in wrapping paper. There's a squirrel in the Christmas tree. There's grandma. There is so much.
I'm not saying.
He spends hours on Christmas lights and he goes a big reveal to show the family and then nothing works.
Nothing.
I'm not saying it's not a good movie. I'm not saying Chevy Chase isn't brilliant in it, but I've got Bob Newhart. I've got Ed Asner. I've got Zooey Deschanel, who's never been more adorable in Elf. James Caan is tremendous as Buddy the Elf's dad. Will Ferrell, it's the greatest performance Will Ferrell has ever given, first of all.
Oh, take it easy.
Peter Dinklage is great in it. Amy Sedaris is great in it. I mean, it's just chock full of scene after scene. And by the way, because you girls are over there in Wrongville, how about Christine, who comes in to weigh in on Team Elf? Christine, what's up?
Mother effing Elf.
Right?
That's it. It's the greatest Christmas movie of all time. It's so good.
Yeah, no.
Nah.
I mean, can't they both be good, you guys?
They can't.
No,
can
be good. But one is better. And obviously better. Christmas Vacation.
And I will say this. A Christmas Story is better than Elf. So suck it.
Oh,
I don't
know
about that. Really?
Why would you even bring in random third
don't
movie?
Don't get me started on Scrooge.
By the way, a lot of Scrooge love yesterday. All right, let me play my one clip then, because we heard from Chevy Chase and National Lampoon's. This is Will Ferrell, who, by the way, was raised with elves at the North Pole, so he knows Santa, and he goes up to the department store Santa and reveals him for the fraud that he is.
And what can I get you for Christmas?
Don't tell him what you want. He's a liar.
Let the kid talk.
You disgust me. How can you live with yourself?
Just cool it, Zippy.
You sit on a throne of lies.
Look, I'm not kidding.
You're a fake.
I'm a fake?
Yes.
How'd you like to be dead? Huh? Sorry, he's kidding.
You stink.
I think you're gonna have a good Christmas, all right?
You smell like beef and cheese. You don't smell like Santa.
Okay.
So it's decided that it's Elf, right?
Absolutely. Christmas Vacation.
So Elf or Christmas Vacation?
Elf. Well,
you can love both, but the correct answer will always be Christmas Vacation.
Do you want to be on Bean's side? That's
right?
What I'm saying.
I mean, good that's chip. A good argument. Elf. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:55.
Jim Rome talks sports coming up right after the top of the hour. Actor Paul Scheer on the program. And later on, another chance for you to win tickets for both nights of the sold-out K-Rock Almost Tuesday Christmas 2017. It's this weekend, you guys. Saturday and Sunday night at the Forum. Not too late for you to join us. So keep listening. Your chance to win coming up on K-Rock.
Just before we do the showbiz, we do have tickets for... It's a pair of passes to the Netflix world premiere and fan experience for Bright at the Village Theater in Westwood, December 13th. This is a new release movie starring... Will Smith, that debuts on Netflix on December 22nd.
I think people will be confused because they'll bring up their Netflix and they'll go, I don't remember this Will Smith movie. When did this come out? But in fact, it's being made by Netflix for Netflix.
And it debuts the 22nd. But if you would like to go, we'll take the first five callers, 1-800-520-1067. The movie does look fantastic. You will be able to see it at the Village Theater in Westwood. And we will take the first five callers, 1-800-520-1067. All right, I watched only one episode of Game of Thrones.
Okay, but your review was epic.
Right? And it was amazing.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that the kind of show you can just drop in anywhere, though, and easily figure out what's
not
going on?
Not even a little.
It's not a complicated story. There aren't a lot of characters.
Not really, but I was excited about season 8 debuting.
Okay.
So when in 2018 is that going to happen? It turns out it isn't going to happen in 2018.
Oh, no.
This was spoiled by Sophie Turner, who plays Sansa Stark. She was apparently doing an interview with Variety, and she mentioned that they were still shooting the last six episodes, and it sounds like it's not going to debut season 8 until 2019.
Uh-oh.
So that's a long time from now.
That's a really long time,
right?
And to keep plot points in your head when it comes back.
Well, that I got.
Yeah.
Okay, right.
The zombie dragon.
Zombie dragon, for God's sakes. Come on. But yeah, so I was expecting that to come back next year, but it's not coming back till 2019. So that's not necessarily ideal for Game of Thrones fans. I don't know if you saw the Selena Gomez story. She's the most followed person on Instagram.
Yes, uh-huh. This made me very sad.
I'm confused by it. She made her account private yesterday.
Oh, wow.
She was very upset. She says, never will I let another human being guess my words ever again or invite them into my home. This is so hurtful. The most ridiculous part of this is that no one knowing my heart when I say things. So then I was like, well, who was so...
Was she misquoted or...
Who was so hurtful? She's talking about Billboard magazine's cover story for her Woman of the Year honor.
Okay.
She posted the part of the article that upset her. Quote... There's a 5-foot teddy bear sprawled across the kitchen floor in Selena Gomez's North Hollywood armchair, nestled in the inviting marble-accented nook. It was a gift, and at first I thought, this is so ridiculous, I can't wait until I give it away to another person. But Gomez, 25, hasn't given it away yet. Now, is it possible she's that upset about the reporter saying she's got a stuffed animal in her house?
A stuffed animal that she wants to give away that was a gift to her is how I read this, is that she wants to give it away to somebody else, and maybe she didn't want that information out there because it'll hurt the feelings of the person that gave it to her.
Oh, that makes a little more sense.
That's how I read it anyway, but I don't know. I'm just guessing. It's not clear.
I mean, but couldn't she just buy another teddy bear?
Well, I don't think she wants a teddy bear.
No, she doesn't want it. She wants to give it away.
And
not
have anyone know it.
Not have anyone know. She wants to re-gift it, I think.
I just feel like
here.
That's maybe an overreaction a little.
Huh. I was just surprised because, you know, Selena Gomez, like many particularly young women celebrities, gets so much abuse online. Yet she was still brave enough to keep her Instagram public until this. Like, how is this the deal breaker for
her?
That
was my question. Is it must have been something else as well? Because this doesn't seem like that huge of a deal.
Yeah. I don't like Selena being sad. That's all.
Okay.
I don't either. But I'm sure it's a ton of stuff built up. And finally you just say,
Selena,
stop at it.
Selena, over here.
Well, not that guy, right?
Selena. Yeah. Selena, God damn it.
I mean, you got to deal with that.
That was the start, yeah.
I'm going to read this article word for word because every word is special and precious. And it's fantastic. Okay. Chase Landry from Swamp People is now out on the run from the cops, TMZ reports. The real-life alligator hunter was a no-show in court this week, so a judge issued a warrant for his arrest. Chase was popped last year for illegal discharge of a gun after taking the law into his own hands. Seems a shrimp boat was racing through the bayou. He feared it would crash into him and fired a shot across the bow of the vessel.
That's
all magical.
Here's my question. Are they saying there's a show called Swamp People?
Yes.
Oh my God. No, sir.
Have you not seen Swamp People?
Are you serious?
Oh, it's, yeah.
Wait, you're serious right now?
Oh, yes. It's the most backwoods people you'll ever see in your life.
Wait, you've seen Tiny House and not Swamp
right?
People?
You're totally right.
All right, you have to
it's on the History Channel.
Yeah, you have to watch Swamp People. You have to watch it over the holidays.
Oh,
you
my
have homework.
Gosh.
You have homework to watch that over the holidays because it's so good.
I just have to step outside my door, by the way, to see Swamp People.
You guys, it's eight seasons
right?
in.
That's what I'm saying.
Swamp People.
Yes. Yes. One of them might go to jail, though. So.
Oh, no.
Ooh,
please on the run.
Plot twist. He's on the run, right? Celebrity birthdays today. Muse drummer Dominic Howard, by the way, who is one of the funniest people.
Yeah, he's very funny.
Quietly hilarious. He doesn't say much, but when he does, he's really funny. It's his birthday today. Actress Sherry Appleby has a birthday today. Jennifer Carpenter. WWE wrestler Dean Ambrose has a birthday today. Nicholas Holt is 28. And LA Dodgers right fielder Yasiel Puig.
Yasiel Puig.
He's having his birthday today as well.
And that's
him. That's your show. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 7 minutes after 8 o'clock on a Thursday.
That means it's Jim Rome time. 3 hours of great sports talk radio from 9 till noon. It airs at jimrome.com. And, of course, new episodes of his podcast every Tuesday on iTunes and Google Play. Mr. Rome, welcome back, sir. How are you?
Hey, fam, why does Axel sound so much better on your show than it does on my show?
It's stereo.
Awesome.
It's stereo.
What's up? It is stereo. It's not mono. It's stereo. What's up, fam? What's up?
How are you?
Jim, you want to hear Allie's sexy voice today?
Yes.
Well, Jim already called me Mono Allie, so I feel like maybe Jim isn't quite as on board as some listeners are.
Oh, I am, Allie. Oh, I am.
Thank you, Jim.
Awesome, Allie. You sound great. How
whole,
you doing?
She has a whole new fan
girlfriend?
Club with this voice.
I feel great. It's just my voice. I can't figure out where it came from.
I wouldn't even ask why. Just go with it. You sound hot.
Thanks,
plus,
Jim.
Plus, right. People are saying, wow, you're really working through being sick. And I'm like, take it. Take it. I go, yeah, I'm really a hero to some people.
Yeah, why don't you mix in a Halls?
I really need to.
Maybe hit that with a Halls.
Well, Jim, we've got a bunch of stuff to cover with you on your hit this week, including we'll get to the Eagles-Rams preview coming up. But let's start with your favorite LeVar Ball. Boy, he sure has a lot of things to say about a lot of things, doesn't he, Jim?
My man's the best. So LeVar, in case they don't know what we're talking about, he pulled his son, LiAngelo, from UCLA because he was pissed that he had not been reinstated after he went on that stealing spree in China. He also said that he could do a much better job of getting his son ready for the NBA, guys, because that was the plan all along. One and done, like his older brother Lonzo. He says he can do a better job than UCLA, which is what he's going to have to do, because apparently nobody in the NBA has any interest in the kid whatsoever.
Oh, no kidding.
I'm so happy to hear that.
Are you? How come?
Yes, I have.
Don't hate.
I'll tell you why. Because the kid did the wrong thing, and it was right for UCLA to suspend him, and he should just be a man and do what he's being asked to do and live through that suspension and then come back and play good basketball for the school that he's going to.
All right, so I retract that. Go ahead and hate. You've got every right to. Listen, can I tell you about UCLA? UCLA has got to be so thrilled. They're not going to say this publicly, but they've got to be so thrilled to be out of the Ball family business.
Yeah,
because
true.
they got the best that the fam had to offer with that 1 year they had with Lonzo. The family may have saved Steve Alford's job. Well, in fact, it did. But now they're no longer worth the trouble. So believe me, nobody at UCLA is shedding any tear for this.
All right. Are the Lakers also coming to that conclusion that LaVar Ball is more trouble than he's worth?
This is so great. So speaking of the NBA and the Lakers, Lonzo, or I should say LaVar, did get off one great quote when he said Lonzo is disgusted by the current state of the Lakers. Quote, he's disgusted. He's not used to losing like this. The Lakers should build around Lonzo. Why are they sitting him down and not starting him in the fourth quarter? That's why their record is raggedy. End of quote. I mean, guys, it's gold. I don't know what I like better. That Lonzo is disgusted with the Lakers, or the fact that they don't play him at the start of the fourth quarter is the reason their record is so raggedy. Let me help the old man with this. Guys, sorry to interrupt, but the reason the kid sits to start the fourth quarter is because Luke Walton is afraid he's going to kill somebody with that jump shot. That's why. Raggedy.
He's not that good, right? Is that the bottom line here?
He's pretty good. He's pretty good. He does some things well, but shooting the basketball is not one of those things. And when you're shooting 31% from the floor, you're not going to start the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
And he may kill somebody with that jump shot.
Even when it goes in, it looks bad.
It never looks good. I don't care how it looks so much, but it's got to go in, and it doesn't. And then on top of all this, you guys have heard about the LaVar rule, LaVar Ball rule, right?
What's that?
Family, friends, and associates have a section in the arena after games where they can hang out. And the media used to go there because they would try to make some relationships, maybe get an interview. But now the Lakers are not letting the media there because they're afraid that somebody's going to stick a mic or a camera in LaVar's face and he will light them up after every single game.
Wow. Yes.
So there's a LaVar Ball rule.
Wow.
How about that?
What a pain in the ass.
Hey, Allie, do that again. Say, wow.
Wow.
That's good, Allie. Good.
Thank you.
Stay strong. Stay hot, kid. As my kids always say to me, stay hot, kid.
Let's turn our attention to the NFL. The Monday night game between the Steelers and the Bengals had yet another awful hit that resulted in an injury on the field. And people are more and more sensitive to how dangerous this game is. And then you got somebody like Brent Musburger coming out and saying, hey, if you don't like the violence in the NFL, you're a snowflake. Where do you come down on all this, Jim?
It was more than one hit. It was a really nasty, ugly game. And I don't mean ugly like bad football. I mean nasty and violent. Hey, look, I'm the first guy to get out of my seat after a big hit. But for the first time in my entire life while watching that game, I was actually wondering, has it gotten too violent? Has it gotten too dangerous? Like, I don't want to see another dude get concussed or carted off. But to the question, is it too dangerous, guys? Let me let my man Mike Mitchell, who plays for the Steelers, answer that question.
This is football. If you want to see flag football, then let's take our pads off. That would make it easier for me because now I don't got to wear heavy shit. But give us flags for me to pull off, because that way I know what we're playing. I feel like I got to ask a guy, hey, are you ready for me to hit you right now before I hit you? I'm going to mess around and get hurt trying to protect an offensive player because he's running an over route. Damn it, your quarterback shouldn't have threw that ball messed up.
All right, so you got to play it right there going right. Wow. Went with the old put flags on them. Listen, that's a really physical guy who's frustrated with the way the game is officiated right now. But the fact is, the game is changing. The players have to change with it. You have to find a way to reduce the number of headshots in the game. It's not unreasonable.
And that's also why you look at what Gronk did and you go, well, that's a perfect example of what we can't have in the league anymore. That's why a suspension, right?
You see, that is unreasonable. What that guy did is different than making a football play in the heat of the moment. What that guy did, for those who missed it, Gronk was frustrated, and there was another player who was face down after a play, and like the guy came off the top rope and he cracked him in the head, and then this player ends up in concussion protocol. That was dirty, and that was cheap, and that was not a football play. These other plays we're talking about, like Juju Smith-Schuster, he got a game for lighting up Vontaze Burfict. That was during a play. It was vicious, but it was a football play.
Right. Was that Juju play dirty?
It was definitely on the line. It was on the line. Your guy Gronk was definitely dirty.
Oh, I will not support Gronk in that. He was a meathead. He was an idiot. And what a horrible example that was. That was awful.
Sick him, Allie.
Juju it dirty?
Okay,
and
so what it is,
I think it was mostly the taunting after. And
you're
if anyone deserves taunting, it's perfect. Who's
Look
with
you?
Me?
Go get him.
Thank
right.
you.
See, you know what it was? He,
stay hot, kid.
Called, stay hot, kid. Stay hot, kid. Stay horse, kid. Halls, Allie. Get to the Halls. Juju, it was a crackback block. The NFL is trying to get rid of crackback blocks, but it was kind of the optics of the thing. Like, you put this guy to sleep, and then he stood over him and taunted him. But then in that same game, a player named George Aikola also hit Antonio Brown in the head, and he didn't get a suspension. So the bottom line is, you have to make the game safer, but the league's got to be consistent with the way they dole out their punishment, and they're not right now.
All right, fair enough. Our final
topic. Is that
topic-
work for you, Allie? Is
absolutely.
That right?
Final topic with Jim Rome. The country has been captivated by how good the Philadelphia Eagles have been this year, but people are starting to wake up to how great the Rams are, too. That has got to be the game of the week, Jim. Your thoughts?
It is the game of the week. It's a key matchup. The bad news for the Rams was that it was Philadelphia and everybody else in the conference, and then they got lit up last week by Seattle. So that's a wake-up call that they needed. That's bad for the Rams. But can I tell you, Ram fans, something? Memo to Ram fans. Eagle fan came in earlier this season. They took over the Chargers' house in Carson. Do not let that happen to you. Get that freaking car flag out of your garage and protect your house. You're 9-3. It is one of the games of the year. If not now, then when? Get your ass out there and ram it. Ram it. Damn it. Represent it. Damn it. Ram it. They're 9-3. They're awesome. Get out there and represent your house.
Yeah, the last thing you want to do is make it feel like an Eagles home game
right.
because they've got more fans in the stands than you.
Right.
For sure.
This is what I'm saying. Ram it, damn it.
No, I like that you're keeping the song alive, Jim.
And I think we need a remake from Jim called Ram It, Damn It that you can work on over the holidays.
Yeah, and I think that right need. Now you should put a mic in front of Allie and let her voice it with that perfect voice she has today.
Ram it. Ram it. The Jim Rome
damn
Show.
It.
From 9 till noon at jimrome.com.
Jim, leave new episodes Ram it.
Of the podcast every Tuesday at iTunes and Google Play. On Twitter at Jim Rome.
Go
website
Ducks.
Jimrome.com. Go Ducks.
Go Ducks.
How dare you? I would never say that.
Right.
Ram it.
Thank you, man. Have a great show today. Bye-bye.
Bye, guys. See ya.
Thank you. These fires in Southern California these past few days are among the worst I have ever seen. I heard that they had not had a fire like this of this kind of size in Bel Air since the early 1960s.
Wow.
So we are seeing fires in places we are not used to, and some of the images are just tragic. I can't imagine what it's like to wake up and be a firefighter if you even had the opportunity to go to sleep, and your job is to stop these fires. I don't even know how you do it when you have everything in nature working against you. So we did want to get an update and talk about a couple of other things with Captain Seth Miller, who joins us from the Culver City Fire Station Number 1, Engine 41. Captain, we know you're extremely busy, but thank you so much for jumping on today.
Oh, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
What's the, if you can, just give us a general update on the status of all these fires. I know there's almost more than any one person can keep track of, but how are we doing?
Well, it looks like, so for our department, we're involved with the Thomas Fire. And that is at about 96,000 acres plus with 5% containment. And then we also have units at the Skirball Fire, and that's the numbers we have are 475 acres with about 10% containment. And that's the latest numbers that we are getting.
I thought the Skirball was almost completely contained. No, huh?
That's the numbers I just got up to date. But we're being updated every minute. You know, so I have to get the recent updates. We also have the Creek Fire that's going on as well. And for people who want to get updates, usually the best place to go would be the Cal Fire website at www.fire.cal.gov, and that can get you up to date information on fires that might be near you in California.
Captain, how difficult is the conversation you and your men have with homeowners who just can't bear the thought of driving away from their house, not knowing what's going to happen to it?
You know, we understand that because we feel the same way. You know, if we're told we have to leave our house, we have firefighters that have homes in Vinton, and as you can see in some of the news stories, there are firefighters that have lost their homes, and we know the pain it takes to get up and leave something that you hold so dear. It's just you have to really recognize that your life is more important than anything that you own, and by staying in some of these situations, you're putting yourself at risk, and you're putting first responders at risk, because we're going to do anything to protect you. And if you're not leaving, you know, obviously we're going to do what we can to help you. So we understand it. It's a really difficult conversation to have, and we're very sympathetic to the emotions that go along with, you know, leaving your home. I mean, we all have homes, you know.
Is this just the perfect storm of the low humidity, the Santa Ana's, everything, or is our fire season getting extended every single year?
Yes, and it's a combination of all those things. We're seeing drier fuel types, and we're seeing higher wind conditions and heat into later, you know, later in the year. We're in December right now, yeah. You know, and humidity levels are low, winds are high, and these are just conditions that really are, you know, really bad for fires. And we're seeing more and more fires because, you know, you see areas that haven't burned in a long time, like you mentioned this morning, since the 1960s. You're talking about mm-hmm. that Bel Air area, you know. So when areas that haven't burned in that long or have these types of burns, they're gonna repeat themselves. You know, but what we do have now is fire prevention, and people are more aware, and people are able to get ahead of these things, which helps too.
This is the voice of Captain Seth Miller from the Culver City Fire Station #1, talking about the Southern California fires right now. What's the status of these giant planes that can drop lots of water on planes? Are they being used a lot? Do we have enough of those? What's the deal there, Captain?
You know, I don't have the information on that specifically, but I do know we do have contracts in the state, and local governments have contracts with those types of planes. I haven't seen any out there. I know, you know, LA City Fire, they have their own helicopters and aircraft, as well as LA County. So I know they're utilizing those. As far as the big planes that you see dumping water, I can't comment on that because I don't know the status of those right now. I know sometimes they are used in more of a like seasonal type capacity, but I can't speak on where they are right now at this moment.
We're doing a live broadcast tomorrow from the Hollywood Park Casino to kick off our Acoustic Christmas weekend, Captain, and we're giving away tickets to the shows for people come down. We've got some special guests, but we thought we'd take advantage of our listeners and their generosity, since they're coming down to see us anyway, to bring toys for a campaign that the fire department has called Spark of Love. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. This is something that started over about 25 years ago. ABC 7, Channel 7, they sponsor it with Southern California Firefighters. And it involves LA County Fire, Orange County, Riverside, San Bernardino, Ventura, and all the city fires within those counties. And basically, as you come to a local fire station, you drop off a toy, and we're going to get out there and donate those toys to underprivileged children and families in need of toys. And typically, like last year, we raised about 500,000 toys.
Wow!
Donation. Yeah, and we're really hoping to double that this year, because I mean, now more than ever, if you're turning on the news, you know, this is going to be a really hard Christmas for some people, and we're really urging people to go out, but just buy one toy. One person, one toy is really going to help, and we'll be able to get these kids the Christmases they deserve. I mean, especially after losing you know, everything. This is a really big year for us to do this.
Of course, yeah. I mean, when hundreds of people have lost their homes, you're right. Like you said, it's a tough Christmas. So you can go to any fire station and drop off a toy? That's what you're telling
us? Yeah, any local fire station here in Los Angeles, Orange, Riverside, San Bernardino, Ventura counties, they will take your toys, and then they will donate them out. And like sometimes for us, you know, we have local churches that we take them to, or anywhere approved within ABC 7 and Spark of Love. But we get all those toys out to where they need to go.
Okay. Well, we are happy to be a receiving center for the toys as well tomorrow. If folks are coming down to the broadcast and they want to just combine their errands and bring a toy down, we'll make sure it gets to the captain as well. So that's going to be tomorrow morning at the Hollywood Park Casino. I'm so glad you came on. We know how busy you are. Give that website address one more time for people who want updates on the fire, Captain.
Absolutely. Okay. It's www.fire.ca.gov. It'll give you current conditions. You know, the news has been really good about putting out that information, but if you want up-to-date information, go on the Cal Fire website, and they'll let you know fires in your area specifically.
Perfect. Thank you so much for joining us. I hope you and the men and women that work with you all stay safe. Good luck, okay, Cal?
Thank you so much for doing this. We appreciate everything you guys do. Thank you so much.
Actor Paul Scheer is going to be our guest in studio with us in the 9 o'clock hour. Kevin, I bet you're so sad that his movie, The Disaster Artist, is the title that you were going to use for your book and your movie.
My autobiography.
But unfortunately, it's already been used for something else. But we'll catch up with Paul coming up. That means we get a little bit early taste of Dr. Drew Pinsky, who joins us right now. Hey, Doc, how are you, sir?
Early taste. I'm great. How are you guys?
We're good. I'd like to not use the word taste.
We do have a troubling medical condition that we need to talk to you about. But first, we want to talk about this thing that you're doing with something called Green Room. Now, this is something, a video chat platform that you co-founded that sounds like it has a lot of great potential, Doc.
It really does. It came out of my frustration with social media. And I thought there's got to be a way for celebrities to use these to meet with people and to have positive interaction with their fans. And so we now have these monitored chats where people can spend time with their fans in the comfort of their own home or wherever they happen to be, and the fans in the comfort of theirs. And in this case, this is a CrowdRise fundraiser for Carson Wentz. If you know him, he's the Eagles quarterback, great guy. And he's raising funds for his charity. And go to CrowdRise, check it out, and you can get not only his autographed cleats, but he'll autograph them personally during a intimate 10-minute chat on our Green Room platform. It'd be great. I'm very excited about this.
I love the idea of all these words, the video chat and the intimacy and the 10 minutes. It all
sounds
like what I'm already familiar with anyway, but it's for a good cause.
Well, the other thing is not only a good cause, but, you know, celebrities have a problem. They have issues of time and proximity, and this sort of overcomes those issues for people so they can, you know, use their free time when they're just, you know, hanging out in their living room and meet with fans. And in this case, it's also raising money for a great cause. It's his AO1, which is sort of something very personal for him.
Okay. CrowdRise.com, by the way, if you want to go and just look up Carson Wentz, and you can find the event that Dr. Drew was talking about. It's pretty cool. And I hope somebody asked him. I'm sorry, what?
My cleats.
Yep. My cleats. Okay, good enough. All right. Troubling a medical issue, Dr. Drew. You tell us if you have ever heard about this one or not. This is a story out of Britain, Southampton. A 29-year-old went to the hospital when he woke up one morning noticing part of his vision was impaired. It turned out that the night before he had had vigorous sex with his wife and had burst a blood vessel in his eye while orgasming. This is a thing? You can cause a hemorrhage in your eye by orgasming?
Obviously, not commonly, but what I love is I'm standing out here on 6th Avenue in New York City talking about orgasmic vascular disasters. This is awesome. The lady next to me is turning to look. So maybe I'll take a few steps over here.
How does this happen?
But listen, obviously there are tremendous neurovascular shifts during sexual activity. The way our vascular system responds to sexual activity is extremely complex, and you can have almost any sort of vascular disaster. You can have strokes, you have intracranial bleeds, you can have heart attack, you can rupture aortic aneurysm. And in this case, the pressure builds up in the retinal vein and it ruptured into his retina. If you remember on Love Line, we'd always get these calls about postcoital headaches, these severe migraineous headaches at the end of sex or in the middle of sex. And I'd always tell people, look, you got to go see a doctor, because occasionally that could be an aneurysm, a precipitating, you know, sort of symptoms of an intracranial vascular event, you know, like a bleed. And it happens. It does happen.
That's not the right one. Sounds to us, my takeaway for folks who are joining the conversation late is that Dr. Drew says that having sex will kill you. That's what I
Cue the circus music.
It is also suggested in the article from The Sun on this young man that he may have held his breath to stop himself from ending the session early, and that may have put him more at a risk for that type of injury.
Right. The Valsalva, which is really not just holding breath, but bearing down. Obviously, when you bear down vigorously, like you're lifting a weight or something, people can precipitate problems. I've seen people have similar events while weightlifting. Young people, you have to have some predisposition for this stuff. It's obviously not everyone's going to get this as a young person. But as you age, this kind of thing can be a really serious potential problem. And so people need to at least breathe. Don't bear down, but breathe.
Is this at all related to, let's say, if you are just puking up a storm, you've got the flu, and all of a sudden your eye is just completely red, you popped a blood vessel. Is it that same pressure?
Yeah, so it must be the flu and not a heavy night of drinking, Allie, is it your
story? Yeah, of course.
I mean, listen, we call it what we call it.
Yeah, of course. So that's different. That's a subconjunctival hemorrhage, and those are completely meaningless. They're benign. And, yes, that's another Valsalva-related phenomena, but it's a benign one. You can even, if you're really, like, if somebody's sort of strangling, you can get petechiae. You can actually burst blood vessels in your skin. But the conjunctival vessels are particularly prone to bursting, and that is very different than what this guy had. This guy had a retinal vein back in his central nervous system, his retina, that actually bled into the eye itself.
So you're saying...
Okay.
Just...
Poor Dr. Drew.
Poor Drew.
He's just trying to give medical advice, Kevin. Let the man, come on.
Drew's like crouching down by a dumpster someplace in New York, trying to keep his voice down while telling people not to bear down.
Allie,
you got a final thought, Allie.
Bottom line is just let your orgasm happen, right?
So says Allie, I literally have my face buried in the corner of a building here. So I can see my shame. Literally. I can take a picture.
So say it to us out loud, Drew.
Post it on krock.com.
All right. We're out of time. Go to crowdrise.com. Search for Carson Wentz to find the video chat that Dr. Drew was talking about. Go to drdrew.com for all of his podcasts and live appearances. And don't forget, you can see a doctor now in the comfort of your own home. Download the Heal app at the App Store or Google Play. Thank you, Doc. We'll do it again next time. Appreciate it, sir.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:55.
You think Doug Benson will bring enough for everybody tomorrow?
That's a great question.
It is a Christmas party.
Or will everyone be bringing for Doug Benson?
Ah.
Right?
By the way, Doug Benson hasn't had to buy weed in like 20 years. Because everybody wants to smoke out with him.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, Doug is going to be one of our special guests, along with Justin Long and our friend Rudy Cisneros. We're all going to be broadcasting live tomorrow from the Hollywood Park Casino from 5:30 a.m. until 10. Every hour, we've got tickets you can win to both nights of the sold-out K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2017. It's our Almost Acoustic Christmas kickoff party, and it's going to be live tomorrow morning, so I hope you'll come on down. And as you heard when we were talking to the fire chief earlier, we are asking you to bring a new unwrapped toy, please, so we can donate that to the Firefighters Spark of Love campaign. It's going to be a lot of fun tomorrow. Mm-hmm. All right, let's take a look at what's going on in the world. Oh, showbiz, I got some bad news for you guys. You're not going to like it.
Uh-oh.
Oh.
Lindsay Lohan is back in the United States.
Yeah,
hasn't it been so peaceful and so quiet and so drama-free having her live in Dubai for the past few years?
Is that where she's been? I thought she was in England.
No, she wasn't in England for a while. Then she moved to Dubai.
Okay.
She is in back in New York City. She was caught by TMZ leaving a Christmas party last night, and she was asked, hey, would you ever consider moving back to the United States? First of all, TMZ reporter, don't put that in her head. We don't need her to think about that.
You're not helping.
Yes, you're not helping at all. And she said maybe for the music she would move back.
For her music?
Her music, yes. Yeah. So does she think that, A, you can't record music anywhere else, and, B, that there's a huge appetite for Lindsay Lohan to be a recording artist again? It doesn't sound like if she's waiting for that that's likely to happen. So I think we're probably going to be safe. At some point, she'll probably go back to Dubai. I just think it's been nice having her gone.
Yeah, I've been – I'm fine with her not being in the news, if that's what you're saying, yeah.
Exactly.
I'm perfectly fine with that.
The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame made an interesting announcement yesterday. They issued a list. Now, here's the way the Hall of Fame works. And by the way, a lot of people have no time for the Hall of Fame. They think it's bogus, and there's a lot of people in there that shouldn't be, and a lot of people that should be in there that aren't. But they do have a gold ribbon committee of 900 people that vote. That's the voting body.
Some Hall of Fames do make monumental mistakes.
Certainly.
Some.
some.
Radio.
Members of the music industry, recording artists, including anyone who's ever been inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, they get to vote. Like if you're Bruce Springsteen, you get to vote, you know, all those people. But they also have a chance for fans to cast their votes, and they consider that in the final balloting. So they've got all these professionals and all these musicians, and then they also give us, the fans, a vote. So the fans took a look at who was potentially going to go into the hall in 2018, and they cast their votes. Out of 19 acts that are under consideration for next year, far and away, the one with the most votes was Bon Jovi.
Yay!
I'm sorry?
Bon Jovi is the fan favorite of those who are being nominated.
You just said Bon Jovi.
Bon Jovi is immensely popular.
Right.
You know, think about it. They've been around since what, Allie? The early 1980s. They've been around. They still can sell out stadiums in this country. You know, and they haven't had a hit on the radio in a long time, but they have a diehard, longtime fan base. And they turned out, I don't know what the Bon Jovi heads or whatever they're called are, but they definitely turned out to cast them number one. Surprisingly, the Moody Blues were number two on this list of fan votes. Do you think
that's incredibly surprising? Because I would think the votes would be electronically, and my dad isn't logging on to vote for the Moody Blues.
No,
he just isn't.
That's weird.
How many Moody Blues fans are still alive? I'm stunned by them coming in at number two, especially when you look at some of the people, you know, way further down on the list, like, I don't know, Depeche Mode, like Eurythmics, like Radiohead, like Rage Against the Machine. Nowhere near the number of fan votes as the Moody Blues. It is a surprise. You would think that the Radiohead people would be the people most likely to be online. They would be the ones who'd be casting the votes. Dire Straits came in number three, The Cars number four, and Judas Priest number five. So we won't find out till the spring who actually is going to make it. But out of the 19, five will be admitted into the Rock Hall. All right, here's another list for you, because I love this time of year where they start looking back at 2017. The list of the 20 most downloaded apps in America, according to Apple. So these are people who go to the iTunes store and download an app. What are the 20 most common? Let's see if you can guess a couple of them anyway.
Grindr.
No, surprisingly, Kevin. Just not in the top 20. But that's not a bad guess.
I respect it.
Not a bad guess at all.
Facebook.
Facebook is number six on the list. Yeah, a lot of ones you would not be surprised. For instance, Uber is number 10. Spotify, number 9. Netflix, number 8. Google Maps, number 7. Then Facebook, then Instagram. Then
I was just going to guess all those, by the way. So, way to go.
Then YouTube, and the top two are both Snapchat ads. One is the OG Snapchat, and the other one, number one, was Bitmoji, which is a Snapchat product as well.
Where are my Postmates people at?
Right?
I don't see Postmates.
Incorrect.
I do see stoners.
I do see WhatsApp at number 14. I see Twitter at number 16.
All right.
But still not making me any money. And I see Lyft at number 20. So there you go. Today's celebrity birthdays. How about C. Thomas Howell, 51 years old today. Nicholas Holt from the X-Men turns 28. Aaron Carter is 30 today. Our friend Dominic Howard from Muse, he drums for that band, and we'll see him this weekend, is 39 years old today. Singer and Broadway composer now, Sarah Bareilles, very talented, 38 years old. Actor Shiri Appleby turns 39. Jennifer Carpenter from Dexter is 38. Yasiel Puig is number 27. And Kevin's all-time favorite, the voice of a songbird, am I right? 68 years old today, the great Tom Waits.
You're the head on the spear. You're the nail on the cross. You're the fly in my beer. You're the key that got lost.
It sounds like somebody making fun of someone else.
That's such a bad representation of Tom Waits.
Is it Tom Waits?
It is indeed.
Okay.
But
happy birthday, Tom. We love you. This has been This Hour Showbiz News. We have been looking forward to this interview all week long. He is a great actor, comedian, writer, director, podcaster. Our friend Paul Scheer back on the Kevin Bean Show.
Very excited to be here.
By the way, handsome as ever, Paul. Have you lost weight?
You know, guys, you really know all the right things to say. And for all you listening out on radio, I look awesome. I'm buff. I really, everything
He's
is working.
He's wearing just a Speedo, too, and it's working.
I'm doing squats while I'm talking to you right now. I'm lifting. I come fully performed. I'm like a little mini rock.
Well, we're especially excited. We always enjoy having you come in because we love talking about your very popular podcast, How Did This Get Made?
Oh, yes.
You take a look at movies and TV shows and you go, how on earth did professionals put this out and have it appear on screens anywhere?
Yeah.
And you covered the movie The Room years ago, so it's so weird. This is like some Inception stuff here, that now there's a movie about The Room and you're in it on top of it. Like,
it's insane.
This must have been a crazy journey for you, Paul.
It's bizarre. For those of you who don't know, too, The Room is like the apex of so bad it's good movies, yeah. Right?
Here's what I know
back around.
Just yeah. from living in Los Angeles for this long, is yeah. I know the billboard. That's
right.
all
yeah.
I really know. I've never seen it.
And for those of you who don't live in L.A., this billboard was a black and white billboard in like the central part of LA with this man who looked like a vampire. And I was like, yeah. What is this? Is this like self-help for vampires? Or, you know, and it had a little number you could call and you call it and you mm-hmm. could RSVP to Tommy Wiseau, the creator of The Room, and you could then go see the movie. It was amazing. And then people started to see this movie and they got so into it. They were throwing spoons at the screen because they have like little portraits of spoons in the background. Every character in this movie does something totally wrong. Like, they drink scotchkas, which are scotch and vodka. Like, who does that? That's
no
not a
one.
Thing.
That is not a thing.
Yeah. And so, like, I always say that The Room is like Tennessee Williams put through Google Translate. And,
that's exactly what it is.
And so forever, people were like, "What? What's the story behind this insanity? Because yeah. nothing is right here." So one of the actors in the movie, Greg Sestero, wrote a book called The Disaster Artist. And it was amazing because in the book, he kind of details this amazing relationship with Tommy Wiseau, this eccentric millionaire yeah. who wants to make a piece of art.
How did he get his money?
It's unknown. We have
no
a lot
one
of
knows.
People. Yeah, it's
no
a big.
No one knows.
You know, he says, if you ask him, through importing, exporting. Who knows what that is?
That's drugs.
Straight yeah. drugs, right?
Yeah.
But allegedly drugs.
Yeah. So he made this movie, took 50 days to shoot. It's on the crappiest stages. The apex of the movie takes place on a roof that they shot with green screen. So they shot a roof, but they didn't shoot on a roof. But they shot outside. It's crazy. So now we are making the story about The Room. And if you've never seen The Room, it's fine. It's like, you don't need to watch baseball to enjoy Field of Dreams. You know, it's like it's just a movie about two people who have big dreams and they kind of fail at those big dreams.
But fail spectacularly.
Yes, it's almost succeed in failing. So right. it becomes a success story. It's kind of like a reverse La La Land. Like, they all have these dreams, but it all just kind of gets success in a different way.
So Tommy Wiseau is the modern day Ed Wood, who's a guy who's so infatuated with Hollywood and is so excited about what he's doing that he can't objectively look at it and recognize that it's bad or inept, right?
Well, I honestly don't think, yeah, he doesn't have that chip in his brain. Like, I can ask Tommy a question and he won't give me an answer. I said, "Tommy, how old are you?" He went into a 5-minute monologue about building a building and having really great windows but no foundation. I'm like, "And so how old are you?" He just is, his brain works differently than any human being I've ever met.
And it's
so,
not a put on.
No.
Is
it's
he
not.
Is he full. Is yeah. he does he believe the movie, The Room, is great?
I believe that he thought he was making a drama. When people laughed at it, he said, "Yep, it's a comedy." And that was it. Like, he just made a switch. He says it's anything that you want it to be, as long as you're seeing it. Like, that's all he cares about. Like,
wow.
He just wants people to see it. So I think.
Then why is it so unavailable? Why is it so hard to see?
Well, here's the thing. You can only buy it from Tommy Wiseau. It's the most genius plan of all time.
Maybe that's why he's a millionaire.
That's exactly why. You're paying $21 a DVD. What does it cost, like 30 cents to make a DVD? Like,
right?
This guy's making money hand over fist. He's like,
"I'm
not going to let
it
stream." Yeah, you can't stream it. You can't get it anywhere. You got to get it from Tommy. And when you're buying it from Tommy, buy some underwear and some t-shirts also, which he sells.
He sells his own underwear?
Which are actually pretty comfortable. They're called Wiseau underwear. They're pretty great.
I don't want the guy's name on my underwear. That's odd.
It's like Tommy Hilfiger, but Tommy Wiseau.
This is the voice of our friend Paul Scheer here on the Kevin DeBeach Show. He is one of a phenomenal cast, by the way, of The Disaster Artist, which is in theaters, when? It's this weekend, right?
Yes, coming it's opening right now. It opened last weekend, limited release, and now all the theaters will have it.
Your podcast partner, Jason Mantzoukas, is in it. Megan Mullally is in it. Josh Hutcherson is in it. Zac Efron, Seth Rogen, the Francos, obviously. Allison Brie, Jackie Weaver. It's in an unbelievable cast. And I sense it's because all of you were in the cult of The Room. So you were like, "Oh, my God, I'll play anything just to be in The Disaster Artist."
Oh,
right?
Absolutely. I mean, I think that's, you know, people who are in the know, especially in L.A., it's an L.A. thing that's kind of grown. You're fascinated. And, you know, just to have the idea of James Franco, who's a
very attractive guy,
right,
transform himself into this weird European, very long-haired, like sleepy-eyed guy. I talked to James Franco primarily, mostly on this movie as Tommy. I never really remembered what James Franco looked like. Only now, when I've been doing press, I'm like, oh wow, yeah, yeah, you're really an attractive guy.
Crazy.
Yeah, but he's totally transformed. His Tommy is next level. So if you know of Tommy, it's amazing. And a lot of people who've never heard of the Room or seen it but saw the movie, like at the end, they do a little side by side comparison of our version of the Room and their version of the Room.
Oh, it's astonishing.
And you're like, oh, it's all real. This
yeah,
is all real.
Because
the character's Borat level big.
It's even his voice, you're like, that can't be anywhere near what Tommy's voice is. And it is. He's nailing it.
Does he love this movie?
Oh,
yes. Does he think he should have been the lead? What?
No, Tommy is an interesting guy. He gives the movie a 99.9% approval rating. The 0.1% that he shuts down is he says that James doesn't throw the football as good as he does.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
well,
so that, yeah.
I mean, that's important.
Yeah. And so, I think he loves it. Like, Tommy's very, like, kind of naive, like, oh, it's amazing, everyone's here. And then also, like, yeah, of course there's a movie about me. It should have been done 5 years ago. Like, yeah. Like, you know, when James called him to say, I want to do the movie, he's like, who you get to play me? You get Johnny Depp? And he goes, well, I'm thinking I'll do you. He's like, you do me? Why? Like, why? Like, he wasn't approving of Franco. So
it's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
Paul, will you do How Did This Get Made about the Disaster Artist?
I hope not. No, I think the Disaster Artist is pretty good, but we do this Friday, we're re-releasing our Room episode with Greg Sestero before he wrote the book, so we get to hear a few stories that are not in the book. And then we also have a Disaster Artist additional episode on there. So I talked to Franco and Tommy Wiseau about their reactions. And again, if you're a fan of Tommy, you'll hear me ask him questions and you will not get any answer.
That's amazing.
Fulfilling. Yeah, it's
all
amazing.
Right. Much more to come. We're talking about the Disaster Artist. Our friend Paul Scheer is in the movie, available everywhere this weekend. More with our guests right after this on K-Rock. Paul Scheer in studio with us right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Comedian, writer, director, actor, podcaster, talking about his new film called The Disaster Artist. By the way, we talked about that voice, that vampire voice, that accent no one can place.
Yes. He might be a vampire or he might be from Poland. We don't know.
Here are some clips from The Disaster Artist in theaters everywhere this weekend.
So there's this guy, Johnny. He has it all. Good luck, many friends. And also, maybe Johnny is a vampire. We'll see.
This set of the alleyway looks exactly like the real alleyway.
That's right.
Well, why don't we just shoot in the real alleyway?
Because it's a real Hollywood movie.
No, yeah, sounds good.
Okay.
Action!
I did not hit her. I did not. Oh, hi, Mark.
But the foot doesn't work if you're looking at the camera.
Cut. Why you cut, Sandy? This is great. This is real acting.
If you're going to writhe around with the dress, maybe do it before you shoot yourself in the head and blow your brains out.
I disagree.
We could have played the whole movie, Paul.
I mean, that is it. Like, I mean, and by the way, when you hear that, that is the way that Tommy sounds. It is. It's a pretty spot on impression.
There's a scene in the movie where he has a big line, the one that you're talking about on the rooftop, where he comes out of that door and he has a few lines to deliver. How many takes in real life did that take?
I believe that Greg said in the book is 2 days of shooting to get one line
on the
roof. The line is, I did not hit her. I did not. Or the, I did not hit her. I did not hit her. I did not. Oh, hi, Mark. Like, that's
that's
the line.
And it took 2 days filming?
2 days. And it was one shot. And so when we were on set, we had fun with that because we shot, like, probably 70 takes of it, of just James coming out of the door in different ways. He couldn't hear us say action. He came out. He forgot his line. He would say the wrong thing. He would look in the camera. He would, like, have these meltdowns. So that was one of the most fun days shooting, like, that one sequence, which is one of the funniest scenes in the movie, because he has this water bottle in his hand, and he goes, he throws, like, I did not. He throws a water bottle. I was like, oh, hi, Mark. And then goes into this, like, conversation with Mark. It's amazing.
Paul, Franco did a phenomenal job directing this movie. As a director yourself, you did not envy the task of trying to bring this story to the screen, right?
No, well, here's the thing. James Franco is the first director who ever directed in character, in my opinion, right?
Oh, no.
You have a lot of actors who are in character. Like, he is dressed and voiced as Tommy, directing himself as Tommy, directing a movie of The Room. It's like of so many meta levels. It's like, so it's, you know, so the crazy thing on the set was, because when you talk to James, he would just sound like Tommy. So when you'd call cut, you didn't know if it was Tommy calling cut or James calling cut. You'd be like, who is that? And he goes, oh, no, that's James. That's James cut. And I'm like, oh, okay. We never quite knew what was going on.
And Dave Franco, man, I mean, he's getting bigger and bigger every year. This is a huge movie for him, too.
Yes. I think Franco is the unsung hero in this movie because, obviously, James is doing a very flashy, big performance, but the whole movie is kind of grounded by Dave Franco, who is this guy who I think everyone can relate to. He's the guy who comes in and believes, like, I want to make a movie too, and I'm going to believe in this guy, and maybe it won't turn out that bad. And, you know, he's the
eternal optimist, huh?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think there's something really hard to play there, because when the movie gets so off the rails and Tommy is so insane, he keeps on grounding the movie. So, yeah, I can't say enough about Dave Franco in this movie.
I was surprised to find myself, and tell me if this is what other audience members have said to you, Paul, how much I'm rooting for the guy, even though in some ways he's not a good guy.
Yes.
And he obviously has no talent, but you still really want to see him succeed. For some reason,
it's a crazy thing. The movie plays like a sports movie. You're rooting for the underdog. The underdog is Tommy Wiseau, and instead of like winning the big game, they make The Room, which is like a bizarre way that it kind of works out. But yeah, you really do feel for him. And I think part of it is that the movie at least shows the dark side of him. Like, you know, it's I have a good scene with him where basically we get into a fight. Tommy is fully naked because he's mistreating this woman that he's doing a sex scene with. And you at least understand why he's doing it. But he gets a little bit of comeuppance. Like, I think that,
right.
You know, and I think that's important. Like, you see that you know, he's not allowed to get away with it. Yeah, there are consequences.
Was there anything that he nixed that he didn't want you to shoot?
No, Tommy. Nothing. No, nothing. Tommy. Well, the only thing that Tommy requested was to be in the movie opposite James Franco. And this is a very important thing. Maybe I'm giving it away now. Stay till the end of the credits, because there's a Marvel post-credit scene here. But they, that may answer that question. But basically, they're like, Tommy, we can't do that because you can't do a character.
No.
And James is playing you. So it would just be two people who are exactly the same meeting each other.
So you would explain it to him, and he would say what?
And he's like, I'll do it. I'll wear a mustache. And we're like, no, that's not the point, Tommy.
It makes a lot of sense.
Like, you guys sound the same. And so we were like, let's put you in a scene with Dave. He's like, no, Dave, James. And like, right, we're going to write it, but we're going to cut it out. And so at a certain point in the film, we needed the footage from The Room to play.
Right.
And he's like, well, how's my scene? Is my scene good? And like, actually, we had to cut the scene. He goes, well, if you need The Room footage, you got to put my scene back in the movie. And so now the scene between James and Tommy is at the very end of the movie, the post-credit scene. And Tommy wants to be in the running for a SAG award. Like, that's what he wants. He wants to be put up for a SAG award. And we have to explain to him, like, Tommy, you need to be in more than, like, 90 seconds of the movie to be considered. But that scene is one of the best. Just two Tommies having a conversation, a fully improvised conversation. Because, of course, Tommy went completely off script.
Of course. Truly believe he's not putting everyone on that this is the best performance of his life.
If you told me it was Andy Kaufman, that would be the only way I would believe
it. Is that
right? Because it's so deep. It's impossible. Everything that I've seen, and by the way, these are the funny things. I've seen things that are a little bit more disturbing. Like, yeah, he's definitely this guy. Like, he's definitely this guy. There's no put on. There's no put on. Yeah.
All right.
He won't get in certain cabs because he feels that they were bugged. You know, he's like, I think this is wired. It's like, for what? Who's wired? Like, there's no wires in
That's
there.
That's so weird. But the next one is fine?
Yeah.
That's
exactly.
So bizarre.
Yeah.
Paul, we are out of time. The Disaster Artist in theaters everywhere this weekend. What does this do for The Room? Does this just catapult it to a whole new level? And it was a cult movie before, and now it just gets bigger and bigger every year?
Yeah, my hope is that people see The Room. And I say The Room is one of those. It's not even good, so bad it's good. It's just a fun movie. It's a party movie. Get your friends, go over your house, drink,
maybe have a
watch,
drink.
Stop the movie, rewind it, and just know that it will pay dividends for the rest of your life.
Exactly. Paul, great to see you, my friend. Happy
Thank
holidays
you so much.
To you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 20 minutes till 10 o'clock.
Amanda Schmitz from Torrance just won tickets to both nights of the sold-out K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas because she was caller 20 when she heard that song from Foster the People, one of the bands that's going to be playing with us every hour, all day long today on K-Rock up till 6 p.m. p.m., you'll be given a different song to listen for, and it's as simple as that. So thank you, Amanda. Allie, I think it's your turn to take a look at what's going on in showbiz. What's happening?
It is indeed. If you missed it earlier, LATimes.com has a list of more than 50 schools in the L.A. area that are closed because of the wildfires. These are from elementary, junior, and high schools. So go to LATimes.com and check out the list if you're just getting up. And CBS LA tweeted that UCLA, CSUN, and LA Valley College are all closed today as well. And something we found out, the rideshare service Lyft is offering free rides up to $40 for evacuees who use the code LA Safe Rides. And those are providing rides to Ventura County Fairgrounds, places in Oxnard, Santa Paula, UCLA, Van Nuys Recreation Center, Cheviot Hills Recreation Center. So if you go on Lyft and put in LA Safe Rides, you're going to get a free ride up to $40 if you need to get out. A lot happening. December 14th, you guys.
December 14th.
That is a week from today.
Circled on my calendar for a long time. It's when The Last Jedi comes out. It's going to be huge. And something that Star Wars fans can watch out for when they're watching it is a cool tribute, a little nod to Carrie Fisher.
Taint Wars.
Nope, it's Star Wars. Star Wars. Director Rian Johnson has used Carrie's French bulldog, Gary, in the movie. He's made up into an alien creature. A fan spotted Gary in some of the pictures released by the movie company and featured in Empire magazine. And in the pictures, Gary is being held by an alien being right behind John Boyega and Kelly Marie Tran's characters, Finn and Rose.
Who's a good boy? Who's a good boy?
Gary's a very good boy. So, like, I wasn't excited enough. Now I get to see Gary.
Right?
Awesome. This movie will have pretty much zero interest from you guys because you hate Boston. But
I mean, rightfully so.
I didn't know this was happening, but Ben Affleck and Matt Damon are working together on a show for Showtime. It's a new series called City on a Hill. Deadline reports that the series will be about Boston in the early 90s when it was plagued by violent criminals and where corruption and racism in the police departments were the norm. Really? The 90s? I mean, we could continue that, but here's the kicker. Ben Cafferty from Veep, remember him? Kevin Dunn in real life is his name, yes. But he plays Ben Cafferty. He's going to be in the series along with Kevin Bacon, who plays the corrupt FBI agent. That's a cast already.
That sounds pretty great.
I'm in. I'm definitely in. I'd like to talk to you guys about this probably at some other point, but there might be trouble in paradise, Gwen Stefani and Blake Shelton, but not really between them. Radar Online is saying that Gwen Stefani's ex-husband, Gavin Rossdale, absolutely lost it when he found out that two of their sons were firing guns at Blake Shelton's ranch in Oklahoma. Apparently, he just went berserk about that. And how do you...
How old are they? Do you know?
I don't know, but how do you deal with that as maybe he's super anti-gun, he wants nothing to do with guns, I don't want my kids doing it, but then when they're with their mom and their mom's boyfriend, how do you determine what's appropriate and what's not?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Gavin, give us a call. We
I don't
curious.
Think we're looking for a call.
Okay. We don't need
We'd
that.
We take it, but I don't think we're looking for it.
I saw this online yesterday and I thought, wow, people are excited. That's interesting. Ryan Reynolds has picked up the starring role in the upcoming live-action Pokemon movie.
Okay.
Right?
That's enough.
Right?
Doesn't need to happen.
Come on, it's
happening.
Ryan Reynolds, though.
It's real. It's called Detective Pikachu.
What's up?
Ryan Reynolds has so much goodwill. He's Deadpool, for God's sakes. Don't slum it with a Pokemon movie.
But I'm saying, people, when Pokemon came out on that app, people lost their minds.
Yeah, agreed.
People are losing their minds for this already.
I'll watch Ryan Reynolds in anything.
Ask Dave if there needs to be a Pokemon movie.
Dave, does there need to be a Pokemon movie?
Well, Pokemon 20 was just released a couple of weeks ago, which kind of retold the Ash Ketchum saga. But I think a live action would be great, and I'm happy to have Ryan Reynolds be in it.
I think that's the thing. It's a live action movie, so that totally is different.
Sounds like it's hitting the target audience then.
Yes, and we can just look forward to calling it Pokeman from now on. Let's talk about some birthdays, shall we? Muse drummer Dominic Howard is 39 years old. Actress Shiri Appleby is 39. WWE wrestler Dean Ambrose is 32. LA Dodgers right fielder Yasiel Puig is 27. And Tom Waits is 68 years old today. I'm Allie McKay, and that is your showbiz.
Thank you.
I mean, I thought it was getting better.
Yep. The SoCal Helpful Hunt tomorrow morning. Kevin and Bean's K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas Kickoff Party. We are going to be broadcasting live from Hollywood Park Casino from 5:30 to 10. We're going to be giving away tickets to both nights every single hour for people in attendance. We have guests. We have actor Justin Long will be joining us there. We have comedian Doug Benson will be joining us there. I believe a special Christmas performance from Rudy.
Oh, no.
Maybe we'll be there. And also bring an unwrapped toy or gift card for a child or teen for the Spark of Love toy drive that is run by the fire department and Channel 7. And this time of year with all of these fires, we feel like it's a good thing to support. So bring down toys, and we will see you at Hollywood Park Casino tomorrow morning.